Exodus and chapter 14. We'll just read a few verses of this chapter. We'll start in verse 1 and then skip through a few verses and see what the Lord will do for us this morning. Exodus and chapter 14. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host. And the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Look with me in verse 13. It says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out the children of Israel, and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon his host, and his chariots, and upon the horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from behind before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I just want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to meet together this morning and to worship you and to hear from you and to give to you. And Lord, as we quieten our hearts now and focus in on your word, I pray that you'd get me out of the way completely. And that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would talk to the hearts of our spirits, Lord, and that we would just be changed to be more like you. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us and that you'd work in our hearts. That you'd get us completely out of the way and that your will would be accomplished in our hearts, in our lives, and, Lord, in our actions this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you ever feel insane. You know, as I think about my life and the decisions that I've made or the choices that I've made or the things that I find myself doing, I often think about myself as just not really with it. And I wonder if others around me think about the same thing about me. Do you wonder what those around you think about you? You know, further than that, I sometimes think about what unsaved people think about my life. I think about what it would be like for an unsaved person to walk through those doors and sit down perhaps next to you this morning, be part of a church service like you're a part of right now. What do they think about the church service? What do they think about you as you stand up and open that hymn book and worship the Lord? And you know, all of you, if not most of you, were up late last night because of a wedding. And now you're here on a Sunday morning early, ready to worship the Lord, and it's ridiculous to them. It makes no sense to them. Why would you be here till late last night and then come back in the morning? Why would you come back tonight? It's nonsensical. I'm not saying that I'm mature, spiritually mature by any means, but all I'm saying is that the world looks at our lives and they don't understand it. They don't get it. It seems to them like you and I have been wholeheartedly given to a cult, and we just don't see it. They question us. They don't understand. It seems so nonsensical. It seems so strange. And it happens so often, you know, to me. I'd go to a family friend's home after seeing them after a long time, and there they are. They just can't wait to ask what I'm doing with my life. And as I stand there, they say, "Oh, you went to the States to study. You just came back from the States. But what did you study? Is it Bachelor of Law, Bachelor of Commerce, Medicine, Bible College?" I went to Bible college. I went to study the Bible, learn a little bit about ministry. And there they are as they're standing there in front of you, trying to muster up some enthusiasm on the outside that they're really not feeling on the inside. Let's be honest, this world, it really doesn't understand what you and I do. This world, it doesn't understand the decisions that we've made. Let's face it, they're not impressed by us. They're not excited about what we choose to study. They're not excited about what we choose to give our life to. The fact that you've given a few hours of your life to be here this morning, it does not make sense to them. This chapter in Exodus shows us that while we can probably not relate to the world around us, it shows us how we can undeniably relate to Moses. But there's a problem sometimes. And the problem is that we've moved past this. Sometimes this story that the Lord's included in chapter 14 of Exodus 4, it doesn't have the same effect on our life anymore. It doesn't mean the same thing. We've moved past this story. We've heard it so many times, perhaps even before we were saved. And the story of the Israelites moving through on dry ground, it's amazing. And it's a miracle, but we've heard about it so many times. It just doesn't have the same effect. It doesn't mean so much anymore. But I wonder if you and I, just for a few moments this morning, could change our perspective. If we could just walk through the story in Moses' sandals. If we could just go through this as Moses would have gone through it. Perhaps not knowing the end, but just following the Lord step by step. I wonder if you change your perspective for a little while. And tune your mind to think like Moses did. Because God took Moses to a place that he needed to cross. And it's a place that you and I will find ourselves in so often. A place that we need to cross. And so, why does God bring us to places like this? Why does God do with us what He did with Moses? Let's look at three truths from this historical event that has God's hand all over it. Firstly, God calls us from the comfortable. God, He calls us from the comfortable. See, the children of Israel, they were on their way out of bondage. They'd been in bondage in the nation of Egypt for 400 years, and the Lord had finally called Moses to deliver them. He was their instrument of deliverance from their bondage in Egypt. And they were on their way out, and the stage was set for a quick deliverance, but that's not what the Lord chose to do with the people of Israel. They made their way from Succoth, and they went southeast to a place called Etham, and the Bible says in chapter 14 that they set up camp in Etham. Etham, it literally means, the word is defined as fortress. A fortress, that's where the Lord told them to set up their camp. And they were there, they were in this safe place. They were in this place that was so comfortable. They were safe there, they were secure there. It was a fortress for them. But not long after they set up camp there, the Lord, He speaks to Moses and He says, "Moses, it's time to pack up your camp. It's time to lead the people of Israel away from Etham, away from this fortress, and I want you to move. And I want you to go to a place called Migdol. It's between the sea, and stop across from a place called Baal Zephon. And that's where I want you to set up your camp again." And so Moses, he's the new leader of the Israelites, and He's told them that he was of the Lord and that He would lead them. And He tells them it's time to pack up and it's time to leave this fortress. It's time to leave Etham. And It's time to go and follow the Lord where He wants us to go. And so they go and they follow the Lord. But where the Lord took them next, it was a tough spot. It was a spot that didn't make sense at all. It was a place where they couldn't do much about their own situation. But God placed them there so that Pharaoh could see them, and so that Pharaoh would think that they were entangled in the land and that they had no way out. And that's exactly what Pharaoh saw. He saw that the Israelites had been placed with the bitter lakes on one side of them, and they were marching southward where soon they would be with the Red Sea on the other side of them with nowhere to go. Pharaoh must have thought that they were just quite ignorant of their geography. He must have thought that they had no idea what they were doing. To leave a place like Etham, a fortress, and head to a place where they would soon have nowhere to proceed. Pharaoh, he readied his army and he got his chariot ready. He got the captain of his chariot and he readied 600 other chariots and the 600 other captains that would lead those chariots. And if that weren't enough, he employed the use of every other chariot in Egypt. He got everything ready, and the chariots, they weren't a vehicle for a pleasant sightseeing ride around Egypt. It was an advanced military weapon for their day. They gave them a great advantage compared to those around them. And the children of Israel, they were there setting up camp in this place where they would not know where to go. And they began to notice something. Something big. Pharaoh's army, as it drew nearer, the Israelites began to figure out that they were in trouble. They realized that what they were seeing, and it wasn't a source of comfort to them. Moses was there. Moses, he could see what they were seeing. He could see that he was supposed to lead these people, and he knew that he was the one that told them that God wanted them to move, and now they were here with nowhere to go, and it was his fault. And he can see the Egyptian army coming. What was he supposed to do? They were all afraid. They didn't know what to do. And so the children of Israel did what seemingly they did best at this time, and they began to complain. They began to criticize. Moses, really? There weren't any graves in Egypt, so you brought us here to die? Moses, we told you to mind your own business in Egypt. We told you to leave us alone. It would have been better that we were slaves in Egypt than to come here and die in the wilderness. What were you thinking, Moses? Why did we follow you? We told you to leave us alone, but you didn't listen. You know, I understand that every verse in the Bible is for me and every verse in the Bible is for you. But there's one verse that I can relate with so much more than so many other verses. And that verse is found in Ecclesiastes 12, and it says this: much study is the weariness of the flesh. And I don't know about you, but studying for me is just so, it just wears me out. It's something that just the thought of having to study, just the thought of having to get an assignment done, just the thought of needing to get something done will wear me out, let alone sitting down and actually doing it. The thought of a deadline, it just wears me out. You know, college for me in California was no different. The way we didn't have a lot of places that we could necessarily study on campus. We had our room, but we shared it with three other people, and it was a small desk, and usually we would study there, but it wasn't always the best environment when you're in a small room with four people, you know. So we could either get ready and walk across campus to the coffee shop or find a classroom that was free. But usually we'd stay in our room and we'd get stuff done. So I'd have an assignment to do. I'd have some studying that I need to do. So I get myself ready. I set my laptop up at my desk. And I sit down, get the syllabus out, start doing my research, start writing the paper. But sooner than later, I'd just get tired of doing this assignment. I'd just get so weary. And I had no choice because I had to keep going. I left my work till the last minute, you know. And so I had to continue my work. But the choice I did have is where I could work. And you know, it was a hot day outside. The air conditioning was on inside. It was so pleasant. And I'd spin my chair around and I'd look at my bed. And my bed just seemed like so much more of an appealing place to continue my assignment. I wouldn't have to be sitting down. I could lay down. And so I got my stuff, I took my laptop, took my papers, whatever I needed to research. And I got into bed, I put the covers over me, and got my laptop and started typing away. And everything was great. I was where I wanted to be, I was getting done what I needed to get done. But I did notice that my workflow was a lot slower in bed than it was when I was sitting at a desk. And my workflow would just get consistently slower, and soon I was so comfortable I thought, you know what, I need a nap. So I set my alarm, 20 minutes, a 20-minute power nap, it'll help me when I wake up to get done what I need to do. And set my alarm, put my laptop under the bed, put my syllabus under the bed. And there I am, you know, taking my nap. And soon enough, 20 minutes would go past, and I didn't hear the alarm that went off. And 20 minutes turns into 2 hours, and I've lost the whole afternoon, and now I have to stay up all night and finish that assignment that's due the next day at 7:30 in the morning. But you know, as I think about a lot of those times where I would do that, I think about the fact that the more comfortable I was, the less that I was getting done. The more apathetic I got, the less I was getting done, to a point where I was sleeping and nothing was getting done at all. Comfort, it never accomplishes anything. Apathy, it never accomplishes anything. We never get anything done when we're comfortable, and God, He calls us from the comfortable. But what about you? Are you refusing to follow God because you're comfortable where you're at? Scared to leave that place? God, He moved the Israelites from their fortress, Etham, to a body of water with no way forward. But Moses, in his response, honored the Lord. The people of Israel complained. They weren't comfortable anymore. Whether you like it or not, God also wants to take you to a place where He can use you. It's a tough spot. You won't feel safe there. You might not feel comfortable there. It's a place that sometimes is so unreasonable and so far below you that at times you'll question yourself and you'll question the Lord and you'll find yourself saying things that you never thought you'd say in your Christian life. It's a place that'll be so hard that it'll lead you to complain. But will you not complain? And will you let it help the Lord expand your influence for Christ? Will you surrender to that place? I don't know how to get to that place for you. I don't know if it's a location or if it's a state that God wants you to move to or if it's a spiritual state that God wants you to move to. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the address of that place is for your life, but I do know that God wants to take you from the comfortable into a place that's a little bit harder so you can do more for Him. When did we stop following God's instructions just because it seems like it will be hard? When did we stop relying on God's grace to keep us satisfied there? Everything around you, it might look horrible. Everything around you might look bleak, but if you endure it, you'll watch God work. Because not only does God firstly call us from the comfortable, but secondly, God calls us to the nonsensical. God calls us to the nonsensical. You see, Moses, he's standing there. Picture it with me. He's waiting for God to show him what to do. He's led millions of people with him, and now they have nowhere to go, and he's waiting for the Lord to deliver them. He's waiting for the Lord to show him why He brought him there. And the Lord's answer is not like you and I would have imagined. It certainly was not what Moses would have imagined that day. In verse 16, God tells Moses to lift up his rod and to stretch it over a body of water, and God tells him to divide the waters. That was how God wanted to make a way where there was no way. What nonsense. It seemed so silly for the Lord to say that to Moses. Humanly, it was a completely nonsensical request. But God called Moses into the realm of the nonsensical, and Moses followed God there. In verse 21, you'll see that Moses did exactly what God wanted him to do. He raised his hand up and lifted that rod up, and with that, the Lord, he sent a strong easterly wind and parted the sea. And the Bible says that the Israelites got to walk through like there were walls of water on either side of them, on dry ground. What? The Lord did that for them? I wonder if you're there. I wonder if you're there where Moses was, where the children of Israel were. And you're standing there with no way to go. No path forward. There's no way you can possibly go forward from where you're at right now. You feel concerned, entangled in the wilderness. You're just stuck in the Christian life. You're just spinning your wheels. You know, once when I was in college in California, for those of you that aren't familiar with where the college necessarily is, it's a place of high desert. And so it's literally just brown dust as far as your eyes can see. But on campus, you know, we've got our dorms, we've got the church and all of that. And one day we were looking for a place to study. The room wasn't cutting it that day. The bed, it just wasn't getting anything done that day. And so my friend and I, we decided we'd go around campus and try and look for a place. And we went into a classroom, sat down, but someone had booked that room. We had to get up and leave. And we went to a common area and sat down, but it was so loud we had to get up and leave. Nothing was getting done. We just could not get done what we needed to get done. So we sat down outside in this little table they had outside there. And this wind, desert wind, just came through and took everything, and we just couldn't study out there either. And we were walking around trying to find a place to study, not getting anything done. And my friend, he looks at me, he says, "I feel like Moses in the wilderness, wandering around the desert for 40 years, never getting anything done." And that's just what we felt like. But I wonder if you and I ever feel like that in our life. Wandering around, never getting anything done. It's Christian life. Those of you who have been saved for a few years or more, we just find ourselves at the same spot year after year. We struggle with the same things week after week. We never get our Bible reading accomplished last year, and we're not getting it done this year. We're struggling. We're spinning our wheels with nothing being accomplished. But if you just stop and think for a moment, God is speaking to you. God, He wants to communicate with you. He wants to show you why He brought you here. He wants you to go further. He wants you to go forward. And there's more to where you are right now than you realize. We just can't see it yet. So what is God telling you? Is He calling you into the realm of the nonsensical? Has He brought you there because He wants to show you something? He wants to work a miracle in your life? Does He want you to quit what you're studying and study His Word? Does He want you to quit where you're working and work for Him? Does He want you to give everything you've saved up for a cause that perhaps is dear to His heart or dear to your heart? It'll be completely nonsensical. It won't make sense to you or to those around you, but it's what the Lord is asking of you. It won't be comfortable. It will be nonsensical. But if the Lord is calling you there, will we just give up what He says to give up and follow Him? So many young people here this morning, and perhaps the Lord wants you to serve Him in some way, whether it's in full-time Christian work or whether it's through your secular work, but whatever it is, will you stay open to what the Lord wants you to do and follow Him even when it does not make sense? No one around you will understand, but the Lord's calling you. And when the Lord calls you, that's the best life that you could ever live on this earth. He's ready to show you the impossible. He's ready to fulfill your purpose of being on this earth, of bringing others to Him. But sometimes you and I just have to be humble enough to have a million people watching us while we lead them to a body of water and hold up a rod and expect God to do something with it. It takes humility. But will you follow the Lord? He calls us from the comfortable. He calls us to the nonsensical. But notice thirdly with me that God calls us for the lost. God calls us for the lost because as the Egyptians began to follow the Israelites through that body of water, Moses, he followed the Lord's instructions one more time. And in verse 27, the Lord tells him to stretch out his hand over the body of water once again. And Moses did exactly that with the rod. And with that, the Bible says the Lord returned that seed back to its strength. And as the Egyptians were there in the middle of that sea, the water covered the chariots and those that were riding them. And the Bible tells us that not one of them remained. Not one of them. Look at verse 30 with me of chapter 14. It says, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore." So, as we think about that story, we think that the purpose of the story was accomplished. The Lord brought them somewhere and the Lord delivered them, and their opponents, the Egyptians, they died and they weren't able to pursue them any longer. But you know, that's neither the end nor the point of that unfathomable story. Because God, He made something so clear at the beginning of this story. And He stated this in verse 4. When He says that He wants people to know that He is God and that He is the Lord indeed. And He said that that's why He was going to do what He was going to do. And in verse 30, we see that verse fulfilled. Well, we see that purpose fulfilled. If you look at it with me, it says, "And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." There was a reason that God brought them to that place, to bring others to Him. The people feared the Lord. The people believed the Lord. And those people that didn't understand what was going on, and those people that looked at Moses like he was a complete and utter failure when he put his hand up over a body of water, and those people that told him, "Why did you bring us here? Would have been better if we didn't follow you. It would have been better if we were back in Egypt, if we were slaves there." Those people believed the Lord, they feared the Lord, and they feared His servant, Moses. God's bringing you to a place. He's asking you to do what sometimes does not make any sense. And it's a place that has a purpose, however. It's a place that right now doesn't make sense to those around you. Those around you will complain. Those around you will murmur. Those around you will kind of try to talk you out of it. But one day it'll make sense to them. One day they'll believe the Lord, they'll fear the Lord, and they'll believe His servant, you. Don't give up before that day. Don't give up on church. Don't give up on that friend that you've been witnessing to. Don't give up on following God, because your life, it has a purpose. It has a plan, and it's a plan that's so much better than you and I could ever dream of for our own life. Our life, it has a commission. It's a commission that's included in God's Word when the Bible says in Matthew, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." It's a commission that has an objective. And friends, it's an objective that makes no difference. It's an objective that's no different to what the Lord had in mind in Exodus 14. It hasn't changed. It's the same God. And the Lord doesn't care for Moses any more than He cares for you. So go. Go to Asia. Go to Africa. Go down the road to that neighbor's house that they know you're Christians, but they don't know how to be Christians. Pick up the phone and call that long-lost friend, that long-lost relative that the Lord has brought to your mind time and time again, and start witnessing to them and tell them about your life and how God has changed your life. Just do what the Lord has called you to do. It won't be comfortable. You might not feel safe there. But nevertheless, the Lord has called you there. And He'll do great things through your life, and we will just leave and follow Him. Will you follow God's will for your life, even when it makes no sense to you or to those around you? There's a song that I want to make the anthem of my life. It just encapsulates what I believe the Lord would want for my life, and perhaps what the Lord would want for your life. It goes like this. It says, "The only thing I want in life is to be known for loving Christ, to build His church and to love His bride, and to make His name known far and wide. For this cause I live. For this cause I'd die. I surrender all for the cause of Christ. Once I all held dear, I will leave behind. For my joy is this, oh, the cause of Christ." I wonder if you'll be willing to leave everything behind, because your joy is the cause of Christ. The story of the parting of the Red Sea, it's a miraculous story. It's an incredible story. It's such an amazing story, but have you thought about what it takes to get there? It takes abandoning reason and following Christ so that others can come to Him through you. Will you abandon reason? Will you abandon everything in your mind that's telling you not to follow Christ, and will you just follow Him so that others beyond these walls of this church can come to Him through you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before You this morning, I pray, Lord, that we would be willing, Lord, to leave that which is comfortable and to follow You into that which doesn't make sense, so that others can come to You through our lives. I pray, Lord, that You would call some into full-time ministry, and that no matter what we're called to, that we would be willing, Lord, to understand our purpose in this life. In Jesus' name.